The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Cormac Moore, historian in residence with Dublin City Council and columnist with the Irish News. He's recently released his book, The Root of All Evil, The Irish Boundary Commission. It's published by the Irish Academic Press, and it explores the fascinating and infuriating story of the 1924 Boundary Commission. And he's with me in the studio. Cormac, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Tell me about the Boundary Commission, when it was instituted and why.
It was part of the Anglo-Irish Treaty of December 1921. Northern Ireland had been created the previous summer, but it was rejected as a polity by Sinn Féin and the majority of people on the island. So Ulster and partition formed a huge part of the treaty negotiations from October to December in London. And Sinn Féin wanted the unity of Ireland and strived for that. Lloyd George tried to convince James Craig, the Northern Ireland Prime Minister, to keep Northern Ireland as an entity, but to be answerable to Dublin instead of Westminster.
A federation, in other words.
A federation, in many respects. Craig was absolutely adamant that was never going to happen. Ulster Unionists hated Dublin more than they loved the British Empire.
We have Ulster, a province of nine counties,
yeah,
but three were forfeit. Now, explain that process.
Well, that was part of the Government of Ireland Bill, which led to the Government of Ireland Act, which led to the partition of Ireland. And the British government suggested that Northern Ireland, this new creation, would have nine counties, the full province of Ulster, which would have been about 55% Protestant, 45% Catholics. And James Craig actually suggested a boundary commission then, but he didn't want nine counties. He didn't feel secure enough. They felt he would be outbred by Catholics. He wanted six counties.
So they were prepared to forfeit three of Ulster's counties in order to make a six-county unit that would be hugely unionist by majority.
A permanent majority was determined, I was used. Two-thirds to one-third, a nationalist. It was the unionists, Ulster unionists, who were the ones that just called for it to be six counties, not nine counties. They jettisoned the Ulster unionists from Donegal, Cavan and Monaghan, much to the disgust of the unionists from those three counties.
Now, the Boundary Commission was set up with a view to look at the nuance, because there were going to be communities that a majority were nationalist who would end up in the six counties, and vice versa. There'd be some unionist majority towns and villages that would end up in the Republic. That was the idea, to try and sort it out.
Well, we don't know, because it was open to so many different interpretations. It was so vague and ambiguous, the clause. It basically said the main wordings was that the border between Northern Ireland and the Free State would be determined by the wishes of the inhabitants, so as long as it is compatible with economic and geographic conditions.
Okay, so that's a catch-all.
Catch-all, exactly. Yeah.
So the inhabitants can be any unit that they chose to use. I mean, it could be county-wide, it could be parish-wide, it could be town-wide, it could be village-wide. So, and if, for example, you've got someone on the border who want to remain in Northern Ireland and someone within the six counties that want to be, but they're too far from the border for it to be drawn that far, thereby hangs a tale.
Yes, so what Sinn Féin plenipotentiary said, now the ones that lived up to 24 and 25, so obviously the two lead negotiators were dead, Michael Collins and Art Griffith, but people like Robert Barton and Duggan, Eamon Duggan, they said that this idea of geographic and economic conditions was added because of, say, isolated islands like the Glens of Antrim or the Falls Road in Belfast, that it wouldn't be practical to move those to the Free State, even though the majority of people there wanted them. So that's the reason why they believe it was brought in. Whereas the British government and Ulster unionists felt it actually was just to rectify the border, really. That
Along the border, that there would be nuances. You redraw the line.
Exactly.
More or less in the same place, but taking account of the local anomalies.
Yeah, but nationalists were adamant that the Boundary Commission was a total game changer. And this was widespread within nationalism, north and south, that Tyrone and Fermanagh were going to go to the Free State. Newry, Derry City, lots of South Armagh, South Down, East Down were going to go. And Lloyd George seems to have convinced Collins and Cray and Griffith that was the case. However, he was saying other things to other people. The decision came down to, because there was three commissioners, one appointed by the Free State, one by the Northern Ireland government, it came down to the decision of the chairperson. And unlike other boundary commissions that were in situ around the same time in post-First World War Europe, they were independent chairperson. The chairperson in this case was going to be appointed by the British government. And that person was going to decide all of these interpretations or how the boundary commission was going to be determined.
And we've got to think of where the British Empire was at that point. I mean, if you like, this was the beginning, the crack in the empire, the beginning of the disintegration.
In many ways it was, but there were people who were adamant that it should be stronger. And they had actually acquired a lot more territory after the First World War. The British Army was spread all over different jurisdictions. But there was this a group called the Round Table. There was a lot of kind of empire believers who were looking at what was the future of the empire going to be. And one of them was Richard Feetham, who was he was born in Wales, but had moved to South Africa quite young. And just before he became chairperson of the Boundary Commission, was appointed to the Supreme Court of South Africa. So although he was based in South Africa and he was British, he was involved in this round table group. He was very close friends with Lionel Curtis, who was one of the colonial state civil servants in Whitehall. So he was very much a British Empire man.
Yeah.
And he was appointed.
Now, you'd imagine you've got three commissioners and a staff, I presume. This is what you'd imagine.
Yeah.
And that staff would scour the countryside, tracing, you know, the boundary as it goes through a river or and so on and so forth. Did they do that kind of granular work?
Well, the actual commissioners themselves did that as well. So they had an informal tour in December 1924. They went about 2 weeks. They went all around the contested areas. Worryingly for nationalists, they were only very close to the border. So it was an anonymous sign that there wasn't going to be much trifling with the border, really. And then they came back in March 1925 and sat from March 1925, beginning of March, to the beginning of July. And they met upwards of around 600 people. They had previously had witness statements, then they interviewed them and got their views on what they preferred to happen.
Now, I mentioned earlier that the Unionists were prepared to sacrifice three Ulster counties to make the six remaining with the total permanent Unionist majority. There was some chatter about perhaps partitioning Donegal.
Yeah, and some Unionists, and Craig was open to it. He said he'd like all of Donegal around the time the commission had basically become a statute. And the Joseph R. Fitcher, actually, the Northern Ireland representative, even though he was appointed by the British government because the Northern Ireland government refused to appoint its commissioner, he was an Ulster Unionist. He was previously editor of the Northern Week. He wanted all of Donegal, and he wanted to get rid of the Afghanistan parts of Northern Ireland, including Cross Maglen and South Armagh, places that they didn't want the people from those areas. So there was this viewpoint within Unionism that let's get rid of areas close to the border that we don't want and get some rich parts of Donegal and North Monaghan.
Now, there was a case for bringing Derry into the Free State, wasn't there?
Well,
Derry City itself, rather than the whole county of Derry.
Yeah, the majority of people of Derry City were around, 55% or more even were Catholics, 45% Protestants. Now, I know you can't just say because you're a Catholic, you're a nationalist or you're a Protestant, you're Unionist. That generally was the case though, particularly at that time. So around 55% were nationalists in Derry City and 45%. But Newry was probably the most egregious kind of decision to actually leave Newry out of the Free State. 75% of Newry, close to the border, were actually nationalists and Catholic. And they did a lot of economic links with the Free State counties of Louth, Cavan and Monaghan.
Now, the shocking conclusion is that at the end of this process, and you can tell me how it ended in a moment, not one acre, not one person had their designation changed.
Yeah, you could accuse me of writing a book about nothing. but it was a very important process. It was hugely high stakes political manoeuvring going on within Britain. It was very important for Britain too. And they were, I've called the book The Root of All Evil based on a quote from James Craig. But they thought it was the root of all evil because of the threat it posed to Ulster Unionists, particularly the first couple of years of the saga. British government found it could bring back Irish politics back into Ireland, whereas nationalists, it actually gave them optimism and allowed them or made them ignore the institutions. But ultimately there was the fallout from the Boundary Commission. An award was going to be offered, but once the Free State government realised it was going to be very small transfer of territory and people to the south, and most importantly, there were actually people and territory from the south going to be transferred to the north from places in East Donegal and North Monaghan. That's when W.T. Cosgrave rushed over to London to have the Boundary Commission report shelved.
And that's what happened. Nothing happened.
So what to say, nothing happened. So there wasn't a tripartite agreement between the Free State, Northern Ireland, and British governments. So obviously the border remained as it was, but the Free State's commitments to the public debt of the British Empire, which could have been around £150 million at the time, which was enormous money, for a country that had just gone through a civil war, that was waived as part of the border remaining as it was. The Council of Ireland was jettisoned. So the prospects of actually the two governments meeting and discussing issues relating to fisheries and diseases of animals and railways, that was jettisoned. And no Irish, the two jurisdictions never met. The prime ministers didn't meet until 1965 when Sean Lamassin and Terence O'Neill met.
So the unanswerable question is whether or not the troubles might have happened if the Boundary Commission had done its work as intended.
Well,
or as hoped for by the nationalists.
It is probable that if the nationalists got Tyrone and Fermanagh, say, to the Free State, there is a possibility there wouldn't have been the troubles. But I'm not going to go through the what ifs of what would have happened. But it definitely contributed to the ill feeling within nationalism. Although there was a political settlement, and that this was a semi permanent political settlement at the end of 1925. Northern nationalists knew they were citizens of Northern Ireland at that stage, whether they liked it or not. But the Northern government still discriminated against them. They still felt abandoned. All of the concerns they had did not evaporate. They remained there. They just felt hopeless and lost. And the morale was on the floor, basically, by the end of 1925.
Well, the book is called The Root of All Evil, subtitled The Irish Boundary Commission. It's published by the Irish Academic Press, and it's author Cormac Moore. Cormac, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.